This is an Envoice Media podcast.
I see one of my friends get in another dude's bed, and then the dude pull up like, what are you doing?
I'm sitting, sleeping next to a murderer and bank robber.
Yeah, it was normal until that crazy dude that was exposing his genitals to everybody.
You're listening to Criminal Code, our story behind bars.
Welcome to the podcast, Criminal Code, where we talk all things prison. I'm Tony, your host. Today, again, we have Sam as well, and welcome back. Seemed like yesterday, right? We got Tay right here and Zoe. For those of you, if this is your first episode, just to let you know, the four of us, we actually met in Morgantown. You know, so through all the bad things, good things come out, and here we are.
Facts.
Yep. These guys are like today. We're all like brothers from another mother, you know, like
facts.
Like things that you go through, even if I don't see these guys like for like months or years, I just feel like, hey, when we meet, it's like that, like
right back at it.
And it's exactly because like there's friends out here. Like, I think we talked about this in the past, but like after you go to prison, you come back and everything's more awkward because like everyone treats you differently because like they think you're a different person. And like, you know, not to say that you guys, like did something wrong. I mean, against the law, you did.
Yeah, sure.
Supposedly, I did something wrong, and I didn't do anything. But like the image that you have, and I had to plea, and I keep telling this story over and over again because it's like my attorney said I could win the case, but if you lose in a federal case, you have a 5% chance of winning because the federal government always wants to win.
Oh yeah.
I spent like $300,000 to $500,000 in attorney fees. And I paid $1 million in restitution. And then my attorney said, you know what? It's if you have a 5% chance of winning right at the end. He didn't tell me up front because he wanted to collect that money from me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, just to let you know, if you go to trial and lose, you get a minimum sentence of 10 years. Yeah. And my kids were so young at the time. I was like, man, do I take the chance or do I go ahead and like, take the little plea deal and just spend a year and a half under the BOP and then like live my life again. You know, it's crazy. But I'm always happy to see you guys in California in our studios and like talking about life. Cause like I said, like you guys are my brothers for life.
Yeah.
And the friends that like I've known in the past, they're like, don't treat me the same because they see me as a felon. Like the companies, the people I deal with that every day. All the time. They're like, "Oh, he's a felon. We don't want to work with him." Like because I'm a felon, but like I didn't do anything wrong. I just had to go with the process so I don't risk the 10 years in prison.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm more compliant and more like rigid about following the rules because I can't get another strike. And yet people still don't want to believe me what I do. So it's kind of the fucked up world that we live in.
But then that's also at the end of the day you realize who the true true friends would be.
For sure.
You know, definitely. With you in the good times but not with you in the bad, then at least we've weeded out the, I don't want to use the word haters, but we weeded out the people that don't actually want to be around us.
Yeah.
It does suck though.
It does suck because you realize I was like depressed for a while, man.
Yeah,
I was like,
too,
man, I got back, and even my pastor was like, "Hey, you Sam, know. You know,
I don't know,
what you did, but God told me that you should repent." And I was like, and this is after I spoke to him for like an hour about like my epiphany of being in prison, of like, not that I'm Jesus Christ, but it was more like, I now understand what Jesus went through because he was falsely accused. And I was like, I felt that because I was falsely accused, but I was put in the place to help people like us here, right? So like, and my mindset, and I got this tattoo right here after prison. It has humility and gratitude. And the thing is like my mindset changed. Before that, I was like pretty successful, making good money, and I didn't really care about people, right? But then I was like, while I was in prison, I had the mindset of like, you know what? I can't help the 1,100 people in this compound, but I can make a little bit of impact in each person that I affect, like you, maybe like a dozen people.
Yeah.
And if I can help people like that, then like my life and why I was there, I was like feeling like there was a reason why I was there, right? Mm-hmm. To help people, right? But like even you guys were there now, and like, look, you guys are flourishing, and I have no doubt in the future that you guys are going to be really successful, like I said, but it's timing, right? It's like 1% getting better. There's a Japanese word called Kaizen, I think, and that word means like getting better, improvement daily. So if like I tell this to my kids, if you get 1% better every day, in 1 year, you're 365% better in your life. So developing your business sense or your business, your personality, your character, your body, physical body, mental body, like, and I was like, dude, that's why I was there. And then people are all hating on me, like, oh, you don't, you're a fucking felon. You're a felon. Yeah. You don't want to be here. Like, right?
No, and that stigma is going to attach. I mean, I've had relationships that couldn't even continue, whether, you know, familial or, you know, romantic, once they find out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they find out
without knowing the story.
Without knowing the story.
Yes.
It's gonna happen. I'm kind of used to it. You know, used to it now, but man, the beginning was rough. And it's still something we all gotta deal with for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
We're gonna have that stigma. Yeah. You know, that stigma attached. You know, so a couple of things when we were last year. We can't have the episodes be too long. But I was thinking the other day about the K2.
Oh, man.
What's K2? I mean, I know K2, but for our listeners who don't know K2.
Yeah.
It's synthetic marijuana.
Yeah, spice.
Yeah.
I've never had it. How's it different than, have you ever had it?
No.
No?
Yeah, are you sure? Are you sure? You look like, you're like, he had a pause.
Man,
like, no.
Interrogation. Man, I done been around.
You seen it, though. You seen
I
them.
I done been around enough.
Yeah.
I done seen the, I done seen the zombies. I done seen so much stuff off of that K2.
Did they feed him that in medical? Because we had a lot of zombies running around.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, they're a straight zombie, like out of the movies.
Yeah.
Because they don't have treatment, so anytime there's someone that is off, they give that, like, medication, and they just put them into the zone, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you go into the med supply, like, what is that, like, line you go and take pills?
Yeah. Pill call.
Pill call, and they go, take it, and they're literally, like, walking like this. Like,
yeah. Oh, man, they be racing to get there.
Ugh. Yeah. It's crazy, though.
And it must be strong, because remember we had that one guy that was really loud. I think his name was the bald-headed dude.
Myers.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, when he gets sent away, he comes back out, and he never said a word again.
Yeah.
He just kind
of
walked.
You don't hear a peep from him the rest of the night.
The hell did they give him?
Oh, man.
BOP got their own K2, or, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Them guys, man, that K2 used to have them doing all type of weird stuff, man. And then liquor, too. Guys used to walk around drunk. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to get caught with it.
No, you don't want to get caught with it, no.
I never was in, like, I don't think, I never spent too much time in the other dorms. Yeah. No, I was at, I think it was, not Bird. I can't remember whichever.
The big one. Were you in the big one?
No,
I was in
never,
the big one.
The ones across the hills, I was never over on that side.
Bates.
I was in Bates.
Yeah. I was in Bates, too. Yeah. I was in Bates and Greg.
Yeah, I never made it that far.
Yeah.
And with the K2, I seen people, like, they'll go smoke. Remember, they used to smoke under the hill over
there. I remember that.
Dudes would come back in the dorm, and they'll be so high, they wouldn't even know what bed to get in. Like, I seen one of my friends get in another dude's bed. Like, and then the dude pull up, like, what are you doing? Like, So... The K2 is crazy, man. It's really, like, big in the federal facilities.
So Morgantown is actually a city in West Virginia.
Right.
It's, like, right next to the University of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a very beautiful area, like, mountainous. Like, that's why the University of West Virginia, their mascot is Mountaineers. Because the city is, like, really beautiful, right?
Yeah.
But, so the compound looks super nice, besides that you're in prison. But... there, because of that, there's a lot of animals there. Remember that?
Oh, not the
animals. Remember, we had, like, deer. We had groundhogs. We had, like, skunks. Oh, yeah, skunks. We had, like, ducks. Geese.
Ducks. It was like a squadron of ducks.
Birds. Hawks.
Oh, dogs.
Oh, and so it was like you're in the forest, literally, and you're like walking around. And like we actually have a song called Duck Shit,
Duck
that
Shit.
We came out of that because of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was there during the winter time, and I was like, wait, aren't these animal like ducks and geese supposed to migrate down to Florida during the winter?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were just like hanging around.
And we're like, I was like, what the heck? Why aren't they like migrating, right? You're like,
they said, fuck it, we're going to stay here and get fed.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys.
Because the food in the chow hall was so bad. People are like bringing out bread and stuff and feeding it to the animals.
Yeah.
Even though there are signs everywhere that says don't feed the animals.
Oh, yeah. They knew what time chow time was.
Exactly. Yeah. They all came.
They would all be out there.
Yeah. And I know why there's a sign that says don't feed the animals, because these animals eat human food like bread and stuff that's not in their normal diet.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see ducks that are deformed, right? They can't fly.
They got special duck shit.
Like, look at you. They got weird walks and that's crazy.
Oh yeah. Well, what about the groundhogs? Remember
them? I remember the groundhogs too.
They'd come up and pull on your pants.
Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they're like, give me some food.
Yeah, yeah.
A wild animal sitting there pulling on your leg like,
man,
it's like, hey.
That's something I never seen in my life. That blew me back.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then they give the groundhogs fireballs.
Oh.
And they'd sit there and eat the fireball like it wasn't
the fireball candy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Didn't they go crazy?
I remember.
Huh?
Didn't they go crazy eating that fireball candy?
Nah, they was just chewing it up. They love that candy, man.
Oh, and I remember these groundhogs are climbing up the window and knocking on the window.
Yeah.
It's like they're like,
you're in there. I'm out here.
They're like, what's up with it?
How you doing?
They said, fuck the nuts. Give me some fireballs.
Give me some fireballs.
And the groundhogs living a better life than we were at that time.
That was pretty funny.
And the deers. The deers would come up to your window.
I remember deer too.
Yep.
Dang.
It was like National Geographic, man. I remember I seen a hawk swoop down over the baseball field and grabbed a mouse and just sat there and ate it. I said, wow. That was like entertainment to me. I said, oh, wow.
That's Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Entertainment. I think the whole place there was entertainment.
Oh, yeah. It was never a dull moment.
No.
You remember that they took our TVs?
Oh, man.
They took the TVs. It was still TV without the TVs.
No, they did everything trying to. But we got punished a lot. But we were in a different area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we were. It was strict. The drug program part was strict.
It was real strict there.
You know. Yeah, they take the TVs. They do everything else. And it's just, you know, I never got to experience Over the Hill, though. You guys all did.
I did it for like 6 weeks or something. But it wasn't a good time. It was dark.
Yeah.
It was I lost like 30 pounds in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It was like depressing.
Yeah.
But remember like after like RDAP, right? The drug program is like you have three levels, right? You have the yellow level.
Red levels first.
The red level, yellow level, and the green level.
Yeah.
But after each session, you graduate to the next color. Mm-hmm. And, like, they have these, like, celebration things, like, where they have talent shows.
Yeah.
Remember, like, that's where I found out that Tony has a freaking talent of singing and dancing.
Oh,
remember
man.
That?
Oh, man, he did. Ice, baby.
Ice, baby. And what else? Remember? Nah. She bangs.
Yeah. Imagine doing that, man, in front of a bunch of felons.
And not only felons, a bunch of dudes, too,
at a big talent contest.
Yeah.
I think they had me do it, and I had to do it
an extra time too because
I got held back.
Yeah.
And I still was nice. I still did the talent shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So I stayed there longer than everybody for peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter.
No way. I sang. I did. I did Ice Baby in front of all you guys.
And then you did She Bangs.
She Bangs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one time too, we actually had the stage and everything. It was
we
inside,
did
right
inside the auditorium.
On stage.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Oh no, I got. Hold on. I was supposed to go. I got kicked out by then, I think.
No, you were there. You got kicked out after I graduated.
Yeah.
But he got kicked out a couple of times.
Did he?
How many times
did he? And then he came back.
No,
you can't get rid of Tay.
Wait, you were in RDAP for 3 years?
Bro, I was there, oh, my.
24 months for sure.
Hey, so you got released on your normal time then? No?
Might as well
he
say.
Didn't shit. Get here out.
He should have just been in the general pod instead of dealing with all the drama and shit.
Man. You got held back again after the one time or two times?
He got kicked out. A couple times. But he got kicked out after that whole cartoon.
After the cartoon, I got kicked out.
Yeah. And then you never went back, or you did go back?
No, I went back.
Right after that?
Yeah.
Brought your talents back to RDAP.
It was easy then. They gave me my DTS was.
You got Satterfield. 1 month off? You got 1 month
I got
off?
About 2 months off. 90 days off.
Oh, damn.
Well, I can't laugh too much.
Yeah.
Because I went from getting like 6 or 7 months off to like 2.5 at the end of the day.
Shoot.
Yeah. Hey, it's better than getting kicked out, period.
All that torture for 2.5 months.
Hey, but you know what's crazy? Yeah. Like, you know, I was just talking about in the earlier the episode about how people who have not been to prison kind of look at you a certain way. Like, especially being in the professional world, people are like, oh, he's a felon, so he must be bad and you can't do business with him. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Like, there's so many people who are not felons who break the law and do stupid shit, like, that are more criminal than me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even do anything. And, like, you know, perfect example is, like, the COs, right? Remember the COs? Like, I remember, one of the months they did an audit. They had a BOP audit for food. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, my gosh, there's about $1 million worth of meat missing.
Yeah.
And they were like, and $1 million worth of meat is like a lot of meat, right?
It's a lot of meat, yeah.
And we were like, yeah, because we saw the COs tell the inmates to put the meat, chunks of meat into their trucks.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, the COs are like, no, it was the inmates. They stole the beef and chicken and stuff. We're like, bro, $1 million worth of protein is missing, man. Because we're going to put it in a refrigerator in our dorms?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
You just got to think of the amount of thievery that'll happen between just the COs and the inmates. How much gets stolen at that by the place? Even like Morgantown,
man. Oh,
man.
What? It was guys that was like their, you know, that was their hustle to survive in there, to steal out the kitchen and stuff like that. They live off of selling onions and bell peppers, loaves of bread, cereal. Cheese, you know, cheese was a big thing too.
Cheese,
yeah.
I never worked in the kitchen, so I just know some of the people that did. Man, they ate well.
Oh yeah, I worked
in the
kitchen.
That's a real hustle. Like if you don't got no family or no money, like go to the kitchen.
The kitchen's where you gotta be.
Yeah.
Remember the one dude got caught out of stuff, like the mayonnaise.
That was KB.
Man. Yeah, man.
He was about to graduate. We're still in some mayonnaise, man.
Oh, man, it's nothing. How much mayonnaise?
A jar.
Regular
that's
jar
it?
Miracle Whip.
Oh, man, I had 5 eggs and nothing.
Don't impress me.
I had 5 pounds of peanut butter.
What he did, his mayonnaise bottle was empty. So he took
it. Oh, it's even worse. There's nothing in there.
Hall, right?
To fill it up.
He took it to the chow hall.
I remember, and he got pulled up on the RDAP.
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
And didn't he get caught smoking a cigarette?
Probably.
That's even worse.
But he got caught smoking a cigarette that the CO gave him. That's even worse, man.
Yeah.
And they're like, here's
entrapment.
The cigarette
you're
for
already
you.
In prison.
Yeah. But if you get caught, guess what?
Yeah.
You're on your own. Don't mention my name.
Oh, shit, you got
that
caught.
Happened all the time.
Godfrey got caught smoking a cigarette. Remember that?
Oh,
remember, he was up there crying.
Those guys always smoke, though, man. They're always smoking.
Yep. You got to tell them about the acting when we had issues. Like, and the issue is, say you catch somebody smoking and we in this drug class, and you got the next day, you got to pull them up and
bless.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like the whole community has a chance to give them input on what they did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you got to stand up in front of 100 guys all lined up in like straight alignment and say like things like what? Like, hey.
Hey, I seen you outside smoking a cigarette. you got anything to say about that, Mr. Catapay? And then you just sitting up there like,
nah. Yeah, the wrong Asian guy, man.
What, it wasn't me.
I don't know what he's talking about.
It wasn't me.
Where's your evidence at?
Yeah, you know? Wild, man. And even them listening to the phone calls. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. And emails.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
emails.
Yeah, so you couldn't talk about business.
Yeah.
Or anything related, because they would say, like, hey, you're doing transactions in prison.
And they listened to him. My specialist.
You had Zemrick, right?
Zemrick. She listened to the whole conversation.
Oh, she listened to all my stuff.
Yeah, don't talk crazy to your children's mother.
Oh, man.
Ah, you in trouble.
Man, what?
Guys, saying that, when I get out of here, I'm going to whoop that out. They call you out in that real quick, man. And they'll play it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You can't be threatening me. I never thought they would actually listen to it, but my DTS did.
Yeah.
Every minute of our conversations. Yeah. So I was always talking to my family, like, I love you guys. I'm doing real well in here.
Yeah.
My drug treatment specialist, she's a peach.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's treating me real good.
Man.
Didn't help out.
You still got...
No, I still got whacked.
Still.
I try to do everything like perfectly right in that program, and they still hated me. I don't know why, but I still graduated in time. But it was like they always had something against me. I was like, I don't even talk that much.
Yeah.
Like,
and you never got in trouble.
Yeah, it was weird. They started picking on you at the end.
Like, at the end,
yeah,
they started picking on me.
Oh,
at the end.
Okay, I was
in the beginning.
Then.
They were okay.
It started when you quit the janitorial stuff.
I didn't quit, though.
I thought you was trying to do the computer program.
Oh, yeah, I took the class.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember the dude in the building got mad. He was like...
You give him access to the computer.
He was trying to... Okay, my one of the counselors was trying to put me in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like... My counselor was like, no, he's going to stay in computer class.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, he's going to go in the kitchen. And so they were fighting back and forth and then started doing random searches on my locker in my bed trying to find something wrong. And I was like, didn't do anything wrong. And then, like, I had to call my attorney, get involved. And I was like, dude, they're treating me bad. My counselor is saying it's okay, but it's a different counselor telling me I got to go work in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Was I gone by then?
No, you were there.
Because I ended up graduating with, God, so long ago.
Did I graduate
with you guys, right?
Yeah.
You did?
I can't remember, man.
Yeah, oh, I think he did.
I felt like I was like a few grades ahead. I just got held back like a, you know.
Oh, you're in the same
stupid
class.
Stupid child or something.
You were ahead of us by two colors.
And then I got kicked to the yellow. Oh, because I was ready to go. I don't know where I was going to go.
Maybe you graduated.
One before us.
Yeah, one before us.
I was there a long time, too.
Hey, so like,
I remember you was there a long time. You sure?
Hey, how was your
I ain't no dummy.
Your halfway house experience?
Oh man!
Like, if you had to do it over again, would you go back to the halfway house or stay in Morgantown and then like?
Because
like you have some crazy characters in the halfway house too.
No, I mean, I think the halfway house is it was normal.
Somewhat.
Yeah, it was normal until. When you finally got there, and then we had that crazy
weirdos.
Dude that was exposing his genitals to everybody.
Dude, it was weird. I had another bunkmate or like cellmate or whatever in the halfway house. Mm-hmm. He was in like maximum security.
Yeah.
And then he was in the halfway house and sleeping next to me.
Yeah.
And then one day he disappears and never comes back to the halfway house. And then we find out that he freaking robbed a bank with the gun, and then he got caught again. We're like, dude, I'm like sleeping next to like a murderer and bank robber. That's why you know, at least Morgantown, it's like a low.
You don't know who's going to be in there.
Yeah, but in the halfway house, you have a mixture of like all kinds of people.
Oh, you got them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they had state people. No, it was all feds, I think. I don't think they had state people there, but no, I hated the halfway house.
The only thing I liked about the halfway house is I can go to work
and
then come back. And I had it set up where, like, I literally leave at, like, 9 in the morning, and I get back at 10. So I'm only there to sleep.
Yeah.
And then the weekends, I was there stuck for a couple of weeks until, like, they gave me, like, visits to home during the weekends. Yeah. But you had to stay at home, waiting for that phone call.
Oh, yeah.
Bring.
Yep. You had to have
that landline ready.
You got to have that landline set up, yeah.
And don't miss that call.
See, our halfway house was crooked.
Well, where'd you stay?
You know,
I remember you told me, and you were like trying to get together with the counselor there.
Yeah, you can pay stuff. You can do all type of stuff, like, and get away there. Only thing about Louisville was it was dangerous, though. Like, people was leaving and getting killed. Like, they weren't coming back out.
Shoot.
Because really, they like people know you have to get out at a certain time. So if you got to leave at 5 o'clock or in the morning, people know your schedule. And like you said, in these facilities, a lot of people's like real bad criminals. You don't know what they did, and now people's waiting on you. So
that's true.
The halfway house is dangerous to me. Like
our halfway house was kind of open. It was a lot of stuff going on, man. People throwing liquor over the fence.
We had that too.
Yeah.
I ate real good in the halfway house.
I don't know, but I know my cousin, he went to the halfway house. I think he served like 12 months, and then he got out like 3 weeks or 4 weeks before 12 months. And he was at a low, so he didn't have to do any drug program. And so he was like, he went to a halfway house in like South Central. Mm. And so it was like dangerous, right? Sure. And the crowd. Mm-hmm. And he was like, dude, if I had to do it over again, I would have just stayed in my camp. Yeah. His camp was like chill. But then when he got to the halfway house for 3 weeks, it was like, bro, he's like dealing with like murderers and shit. Politics, yeah. Oh, okay. And in the camp, I think he was at Lone Pock. Atwater. It was like easy. Like he was just kind of like doing whatever he wants and whatever. Yeah. He was like, I would not go to a halfway house if I had a choice.
Yeah. Just okay, ours wasn't that. Yeah,
ours wasn't that bad.
That bad
because, like I said, I can leave.
It wasn't good, but it definitely wasn't that bad.
I did get scammed by one of the guys that I met there. Mm. It's a crazy story.
I think I know you talk about.
This guy was like a computer hacker.
Oh,
and like God. I was like, oh, let me help him. Da, 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 da. So like got help him get a job. And then he's like, and I had some Bitcoins at the time. So he was like, hey, if you give me the Bitcoins, I can like invest for you and like multiply it. So it was like, it's like 100 Bitcoins, I think.
Right.
And he was like, oh yeah, look at this algorithm. Da, 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 da. And then like I was like, oh, dude, that's like a lot of money. So then I said, like, I felt a little suspicious. So then I was like, hey, can you take out $5,000?
Yeah.
And he goes, I'll do it. And every day he was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. And like,
eventually he left.
And he never came back. And then he was on the run from his probation officer. And then like, it got crazy. And then
they had murder
charges. Long story short, dude, the dude got murder charged because he was staying at like, this house, his friend's house, who was owned by the stepdad. The stepdad kicked him out because he was trying to sell the house. So then he ends up murdering him with the hammer on his head, takes the body to Joshua Tree and like burns it. And then the authorities find him burning the body and then they arrest him. And I was like, oh my God, this guy could have killed me.
Yeah,
he didn't seem that bad. I know. Sure. I talked to him. I was like, oh, yeah, I think he's good. He's a stellar guy, man.
He seemed normal. And we were like, oh, the only reason I got caught and went to prison was because I hacked into the system and like got all these money from people and ended up making money. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'd rather have him on my side than against me.
I should have known the first time when I saw you, because remember, he was in that wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
But he can get up and walk like us. So
he worked the system, right?
You know, I mean, we should have like flagged it right there, but
it was weird. I don't know. I'm happy, like, even though I lost probably $10 million in Bitcoin, I'm happy I'm alive today.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
for real.
No, he's gone for a minute
because he could have been mad at me because me kept pushing him to get my Bitcoins, and then all of a sudden he's like,
yeah.
Because that mind is crazy.
And we met him at the halfway house.
So bad.
No, that guy.
Wow.
That guy, well, like I said, now he's gone.
Gone. You know? He's in county, in downtown LA. I think waiting trial.
Is he still waiting?
I think so.
Oh, man, I didn't even look.
Crazy.
Wow.
Like 2-3 years waiting.
Was y'all halfway house co-ed?
Ours was co-ed.
Yeah, ours was too.
It was weird, and the food was terrible.
Horrible.
Ugh. I know you said you ate well.
Oh, yeah, I ate well.
Our food was terrible. So like, I had to always bring food because you couldn't eat there. It was like, couldn't eat.
No, at all.
Yeah. But what's crazy is like they did so many random like pee tests, urine tests. Mm-hmm. Every time you come in, you're like, oh, you got to do a urine test. I'm like,
yeah, it was crazy.
Again?
Yeah.
That was the hardest part. Being able to drive back and forth and stuff, you know, not being able to grab a drink or anything like that. Oh, I remember that first drink I had. Man, the first time I was released from the halfway house, able to drink.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Oh, yeah, we had to do breathalyzers when we came back in. Mm-hmm. But guys, you know, our halfway house was so, it was guys, they was paying the officers. They give them $50, like, hey, man, I've been drinking, man. Take this 50.
Yes, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, no, they'll take it.
Yeah. And be like, they be like, go ahead, man.
That's crazy.
Even with the car.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah,
for us, it was strict. Our counselor was that little Filipino lady.
Yeah, she was mean.
She was mean.
I don't know if that helped me out. That might have hurt me.
Oh, man.
One of her own's a fella.
Oh, it's bad.
No, she kicked my ass.
Hey, so what was the first food you ate when you got out of prison?
Man, I had dreams and dreams every night of what food I was going to eat first. And I ended up eating some damn Arby's, man.
Arby's.
It was in Morgantown. Nothing was around.
Your beef and cheddar and your curly fries.
That shit is funny.
Man, I went to Burger King.
You went to Burger King? Oh, man.
That was my first meal.
Did they fly you guys back to where you were supposed to go?
Nah, I drove.
You took a bus?
Nah.
Oh, you drove?
Yeah.
Who drove?
My parents came.
Oh, they picked you up and then drove you to the halfway house?
Yeah, because it was 6 hours away.
Okay.
You know, Kentucky's right next to West Virginia.
Oh, that was the most embarrassing plane ride.
Yeah, I flew. I flew back.
You flew to Texas?
Yep.
Okay.
I flew back.
I remember Tony. He had the prison
in my grays.
In the grays.
Yeah, I was like,
and I actually brought stuff back, so I had I checked the little see through gym bags that we had.
I gave everything away. I gave everything. Hey, what do you want? Take everything. Man, I don't want anything.
And I'm like, oh man, I gotta be near the conveyor belt, and everyone else has their freaking their luggage and all these Louis Vuitton luggages and their was it the whatever it is. I came in there with. Clear bag.
The little neck bag.
Yeah. That's the bag.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep it because that's the bag he got caught with in the peanut butter.
I almost was like, should I even pick up this luggage? just leave it on the conveyor belt. But stuff in there has my name on it. So I had to.
Dude, they hated me though. Because remember, like, I was trying to fly back to the halfway house in LA on a private jet.
Yeah.
And then the counselors were like, what? You can't do that. I was like, where does it say you can't do that? Because I was like, dude, I've been in prison, dude. I don't want to fly back. And like, because they're like, no, we're going to buy you this economy ticket. Yeah. And it's like going through three different cities and layovers. And I was like, nah, I'm just going to have my guys like charter a private jet. And they're like, you can't do that. I was like, that's bullshit. So I was fighting. And I was like, oh, I don't want to fight this anymore because they're treating me so badly.
Yeah.
So I just said, like, hey, I'm not taking your flight. I'm going to buy my own flight, direct flight. Bought first class tickets. And I was like, here's my ticket. And they're like, they hated me. They were trying to find something wrong with me to keep me in prison. Yeah.
But they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do anything.
They can't do it.
They started questioning me about you. You remember?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Even the inmates and COs.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They were like, oh, does he really have this shit? Yeah. Da-da-da-da. Who are they? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
The private jet back from prison.
Like they were saying, remember like the Tell Me Anything, the song we have? And everyone's like this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I thought everyone's honest.
True,
and I'm like, hey, you're this. I'm like, oh, I don't think you are telling me the truth because you don't look like this. And I'm like, yeah, I got this and this. And they're like, no, you don't. It's like, I do. I promise. They're like, no, you don't. Everyone's like making fun of me, like, oh, this guy's just trying to fit in with people. I remember like them telling you, like, hey, Zoe, don't like talk to him because he's just saying stuff because like he doesn't have it and he's trying to fit in and he's trying to like have your back and shit. And I was like, all right, whatever. Though I had a visitor from LA to West Virginia every weekend.
Yeah.
People were flying to see me.
Yeah. You had more visitors than mofo. You always had somebody.
Yep.
I never did.
Yeah.
Every time I went to the visitor room, he was up there. Remember?
Yeah. The COs hated me for that.
Yeah, at all. I'm trying to think of the first thing I think it was a Big Mac when I got picked up at the airport.
Mac?
Yeah, my parents had McDonald's before they dropped me off at the halfway house.
Man, I ate like three times.
Oh, you did?
I ate breakfast.
Yeah.
So my wife picked me up. So she stayed at the Marriott there. And so when I got released, I went to the hotel and had like the hotel breakfast spread. So that was my first meal. I was like, oh, this is real breakfast.
Better
than me, man. That Arby's.
And
then I remember getting back on the phone again because you got your phone back.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Nah, that was crazy.
Allowed to have a phone at the halfway house.
I forgot all my passwords. I was lost.
Man, I did too. I was like, and my wife brought my phone, and I was like, I don't remember how to get into my phone. I was like, oh, shoot.
I couldn't even remember my passcode. I was just happy to have it back.
Yeah.
You know, but again, thank you, you know, for coming back to the sunny city of Los Angeles to do another episode with us. Do appreciate it always. Hopefully we can do it, you know, do it again sometime.
Most definitely.
Especially the time Criminal Code.
And it's fun for us, like just getting together and talking to shit about what happened and always, reminiscing.
Always.
Yeah.
Just like old times, but it's better to be out here.
It's like back, you know, other people talk about summer camps when they're doing, we're talking about, prison time.
Prison time,
And prison camps, but, But again, thank you again, Zoe and Tay, for coming out and speaking with us. And to the viewers out there, thank you for watching the Criminal Code podcast, where we talk all things prison. Looking forward to the next episode, and definitely looking forward to having you guys back out here to talk with myself and Sam. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you again, guys.